Amen. You can see on the screen that Resonate is coming as well, and I love that. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have our international children's choir is going to be a part of that, and that's going to be in the mix on Sunday, June the 9th, and so you can mark that in your calendar. We want to come and to worship the Lord together. Just can't stop my hallelujahs. That's going to be a great night. No mix tonight because of all that's happening with YC in the long weekend. Have a wonderful evening. But let's take our inserts out of our bulletin, please. And let's consider what we just read in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. What if we turned from our wicked ways? You know, sometimes you'll hear Christians say, what's wrong with our world? What's wrong with our leaders? What's wrong with our government? What's wrong with our schools? And you know what God would much rather have us look at? God would much rather have us look at our hearts. God would much rather have us look at our lives and see what would happen if we turned from our wicked ways. I shared just a few moments ago how that when you invite Christ into your life, that's a decision. That's a decision where you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord, be my master, take away my sins. But it's not a one-time decision. I like this graphic here that we have on the screen before us that illustrates really repentance. Illustrates that decision and what it means. The Bible says concerning the road trip that everybody is born into. The Bible says that people all over the world, doesn't matter what place or stage of life they're at, whether they are rich or poor, it doesn't matter what nation or nationality that they come from, but everyone anywhere in the world who is born into sin because of our first mother and father, Adam and Eve. And the Bible tells us that the road trip that people are on is like the picture that you see there on the screen. It's described as a broad pathway or a broadly paved roadway, and it looks good. I mean, it looks good. It looks pleasing. It's the path of least resistance, if you will. It's doing what I think is best. It's living life my way. But the thing with this illustration that you see here before you is it's a really good-looking road, but what you can't see is over the horizon there. And over the horizon at the end, if someone doesn't turn around, which we'll talk about in a moment, over the horizon is death, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so there's this broad pathway, and our job as Christians is to tell people that once we were on that broad pathway as well, and we were headed for destruction because over that horizon is separation from God, because we're eternal people, and there's only a heaven and a hell. And so that's the gospel. That's the good news that we're called to share, that people are called to repent. Now, what does repentance mean? Well, literally, it means a change of heart and a change of mind. And so if you can picture your life before Christ, if you're a Christian here this morning, if you've received Christ, you're born into sin and you're walking a certain way. It's the way that seems best to you. But then in a moment's time, by the grace of God, you see Christ on the cross and you understand that he died for your sin. And then the Spirit of God allows you to place your faith in Christ and repentance happens. Now, when repentance happens, it's a 180-degree turn, and you're no longer on the broad path, but now you're on what Jesus described as the narrow way to life. And you've been saved, you've been set free from your sin, but are you seeing that it's a movement? I don't stop. I didn't 40 years ago, when I was heading the wrong way, stop and even just turn and repent. But no, it's a pathway. So this is a narrow pathway that Christ has called us onto. And so the question that I want you to understand and consider this morning is this: what if we turn from our wicked ways? That's what Romans was speaking about, that text that we read out loud just a few moments ago. And this is the series that we have been in. And let's say this together. You see it on the screen from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Let's read this out loud together. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Again, do you see that God is speaking to his people? Because people who don't know Christ can't turn from their wicked ways. They're blind, they're deaf, they can't hear, their hearts are hard, they can't see, they can't follow. But God is saying, if my people, and as we read in in Romans out loud just a moment ago. God said, dear brothers and sister, or brethren, it says in some other versions. God is calling to you and to I when he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. And so what I'd like us to do this morning is consider four ways that that turning from our wicked ways continues to live on in our lives, and how we can progress up that pathway that Christ has placed us on. What if we turn from our wicked ways? Well, first of all, we would understand, according to Romans, that your body is the temple of the Lord. Your body is the temple of the Lord. The Spirit of God is living in you. You are, when you give your life to Christ, you are born of the Spirit. You are sealed of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in your heart. Collectively, the Church of Jesus Christ is called the body of Christ. And your body is the temple of the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, they had an external temple. There was an external temple, and they would even move that temple. They would move that tent around, and the presence of God was housed in that place. And the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies. That was the Old Testament. But the New Testament, your body is the temple of the Lord. I love our church building, and in the Heritage Hour this morning at 9 o'clock, I was telling those that were in the Heritage Hour, I love the chapel. I love how we've redone it, and I love the stained glass in there, and I wasn't here when Southside Pentecostal Assembly, when you erected this beautiful building for the glory of God. But I've always said that our sanctuary, I think, is just one of the nicest ones I've ever been in, and I love this building, and I love the things that we're doing to modernize and to be current and to be effective in bringing the good news to people that are here in Edmonton and abroad. But this building is not the temple. These projectors and these computers are not the temple. This microphone is not the temple. You are the temple of God. And that's what I want us to understand today, that your body is the temple of God. And so Paul says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you. I beg you, some versions say. I beseech you, brothers and sisters, to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God calls us to honor him with our bodies. You know, in the early church, there was this teaching that spirit is good, like the spirit in you that you can't see is good, but the body is bad. So there was this teaching in the early church that everything that was of the spirit is good, but the body is evil, the body is bad. And so we can worship God with our spirit, but it doesn't matter what we do with our body. Even in some of the pagan temples in early church time, there was temple prostitution. And people, I'm not talking about in the Christian church, but in pagan temples, there was temple prostitution, and there were prostitutes right at the temples where people would go to worship their false gods. And so there was this understanding that, no, the body is bad, but the spirit is good. And so it doesn't really matter what we do with our bodies. Well, I'll tell you something, that might sound pretty pagan to you, but it's not so far off how people conduct themselves today. We may not have pagan temples with prostitutes, but we have internet where at the click of a button you can go into a chat room. Or at the click of a button you can access pictures that you shouldn't be accessing. God calls us to honor him with our bodies. Your body, if you're understanding, what if we turn from our wicked ways? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God is calling you to honor him with your body. If you believe that this morning, would you say amen? And so run from sexual sin. This is one of the things that pulls at our bodies. Run from sexual sin, Paul writes to the Corinthians. There's no other sin that clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. You know, sometimes I've heard people say this, well, you know what, it's my life and I'll do with it what I want. It's my body and so I'll just do with my body as I please. Well, that's true if you're not a Christian. But if you're a Christ follower, if you've received Christ, your body, look, it goes on. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you? and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. No, your body, if you're a Christian, your body is not yours to do with what you will. Your body belongs to God because Christ has purchased you with his blood. And so we are to learn to honor God with our body. We know that the Bible says he's given us a new heart. It's a heart that's soft. It's a heart that can understand the things of God. It's a heart that's receptive to the working of the Spirit of God. We know the Bible says that God has given us a new mind, that we have the mind of Christ. And of course, biblical preaching and even the Word of God and the things of the Spirit, it's foolishness to the unregenerate mind. But to those of us who've come to Christ, guess what? We're hungry for the truth of the Word. We're hungry to know what this means for our lives. And we give ourselves to the Word. That's why you're here this morning. So you have a soft heart that can be responsive to the Spirit. You have a mind that can understand the things of God. And God calls us to honor him with our bodies. That's what it means if we were to turn from our wicked ways. And when it comes to your overall spiritual health, I want you to know that God's health plan brings earthly and heavenly rewards. Now, I'm amazed at the lengths that people go to for their physical body. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Physical training is good. Physical training, he says in Timothy here, that physical training is good. You see it here in the text before you. Physical training is good. So the Bible doesn't say that physical training is bad. But I'm amazed at the lengths that people will go, you know, to chisel that body down. Sometimes I can come to the church at 6 in the morning, and I drive by the YMCA. That parking lot is packed. And nothing against the YMCA. Actually, I was a member there, and I should go back, to tell you the truth. I think I will. So I'm not saying physical training is bad, but I'm amazed at what people will do to chisel that body down. You know, you can have a personal trainer for your physical body. They will tell you when to sleep, when to get up, when to eat, what kinds of food to avoid. You can have somebody that will tell you how to push that iron, what kind of iron to pump, up, down, in, out, up, backwards, forwards, how heavy, how many reps to do. They'll write it down on a sheet. You can report back to them in 30 days. And by the way, did you know that you can have protein shakes for your body? They're only like $59 for a thing. You can get them at Costco. And you can drink these protein shakes. You got before workout regimens. You've got after the workout regimens. I'm amazed at what people will do to get their physical body in shape. And are you hearing me? Physical exercise is good. Amen. But look at physical training is good. But. Okay. Oh, help me, Lord, not to be offensive to myself. Help me, Jesus, that I don't offend myself. So I'm just talking to me right now. Do you know what happens if you just ignore physical training and eat what you want? You get fat. I was just preaching to me, so don't be offended, please. But spiritually, do you know what happens if you just come to Jesus and don't do anything? You just continue to do kind of what you used to do? You don't progress down that road, you don't turn from your wicked ways. It says training for godliness is much better. Well, how do you train for godliness? How do we do that? Like, is it just praying the prayer and then is that it? Well, no, it's training for godliness. Training for godliness is much better because it promises benefits in this life. So praise God, it's not just all about heaven, but it promises benefits in this life and in the life to come. And so God's health plan, understand, brings both earthly and heavenly rewards. So what if we turn from our wicked ways? First of all, we'd understand your body is the temple of the Lord. Secondly, coming from that, you would understand that your life is a testimony for the Lord. Now Jesus, he saw many fishermen down by the seashore, and they were doing what their fathers had taught them to do. They were fishing. They were casting their nets. And Jesus said to the fishermen, "Come, follow me." Can we say those three words together, please? Come, follow me. And that's what they did. They put their nets down. They left their homes.
And they literally followed Jesus Christ. And 11 of them did a great job. Do you know what happened when you understood the message of the cross? Do you know what happened when you understand that Jesus Christ died for your sins? And when you came to him and you said, Jesus, come into my life, you answered this call, come follow me. And just as the call of God in the life of the apostles meant that they went down a certain pathway, answering the call of God on your life means that you walk down a certain pathway as well. It's not a stagnant relationship, but it is a progression. So speaking of our bodies, where Paul is pleading with us to give them to God, he says this, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. I'll never forget the words of my first pastor, after I gave my life to Jesus, Pastor Paul Cassidy. I've said this before, but he said this, there's one problem with a living sacrifice. You see, in the Old Testament, they took the lamb, they bled it out, poured it on the altar, it was done. They took the pigeon, whatever it was, they blood sacrifice, dead, done. He said, the problem with the living sacrifice is it keeps wanting to crawl off of the altar. If you understand what I'm saying, would you say amen? You see, I never had any war. I never had any war with my decisions before I knew Jesus. I was a nice sinner. I was a friendly sinner. I didn't rob any banks. I didn't beat people up. I didn't cheat people. I was a nice sinner. I worked. But you know when my battle began? My battle began when I gave my life to Christ. And now Christ gives us the victory, but every day I still have a decision to make. I mean, every day that I live for Christ, will I follow him? I can tell you, I get up in the morning and I walk into my life and I begin living my life and I'm just going somewhere. I might even be on my day off and God speaks to me about some decision, a simple decision. I have a decision. Will I do what I want to do or will I do what Christ is calling me to do? Let your bodies be a living sacrifice. And so that battle goes on in our hearts between the world and our own flesh, our old nature, the Bible calls that, and the devil, the one that wants to steal and to kill and destroy from us. Let your bodies be a living, and then it says a holy. Would you please say holy? You could circle that in your notes. Do you know to be holy, it means to be set apart. To be holy means that you're redeemed for a noble purpose. To be holy means that God has a higher plan for your life. Let your bodies be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. And as you endeavor to live this way in all you do, in all that you say, in where that you spend yourself, do you know what happens? That Christ who's inside of your heart comes out, and we must show others what's inside of our hearts. We have this light, the Bible says, shining in our hearts. I mean, nobody, you know, I just want you to look at your neighbors just for a second here, for the next 3 seconds. Look at your neighbors. Look at somebody. Does anybody see Jesus blazed on their forehead? Like, no, we just have eyes, noses, and ears like everybody else. We don't have anything on the outside. There's nothing on the outside that tells me by looking at you that you're a Christian. You just look like every other person. It's what is on the inside. We have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. And the Bible says that the way that God did this is so that people would know the power is from God and it's not from us. Can I tell you something about clay jars? Clay jars are temporary. Clay jars are temporal. Clay jars, not only are they temporary, they're quite fragile. I mean, a clay jar, if there were, I should have actually had a clay jar and just let it go right off the table there. If I would have just let it go, it would have cracked and maybe broken right now. Clay jars are temporary, and clay jars are fragile. Now, I want to tell you something about your body. Your body is beautiful because God gave you your body. You don't need to make your body look like somebody else. God designed you just the way you are. And your body is beautiful. Your body also is functional. Your body is functional. It's amazing the functionality of your body, how God has designed it. You know what else, though? Your body is breakable. Your body is temporary. And I want to tell you something about how we show others what's inside of our hearts. We ourselves are like fragile clay jars. I've got some good news for you today. You don't have to pretend that you're perfect. You don't have to pretend that you've got it all together. You don't have to pretend that you've never had a problem, you've never had a disturbance, there's never been any brokenness in your life. Do you know what God said? God said, a broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. And actually, do you know what happens when you let people know that you're not perfect? The light of Christ shines out. When you let people know that, yes, I've had that struggle, yes, I can identify with you, the treasure, the eternal treasure that's inside of you comes out. You know what I would say? God uses cracked pots. If you want to just put up all the walls and never talk, well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be really hard for people to see what's inside. But if you'll share your life and if you'll be open and if you'll be honest, I tell you that the life and the treasure of God will come out of your life. And this gospel, this knowledge of Jesus, is what we need to show others. And the good news is this, you don't do it on your own. God gives us the strength to show forth his life. Now, you want to make sure you're awake for this next one. If you're alive, say amen. Okay, if you didn't say that, there will be counseling after the service in the foyer. Listen up. You know what? I've got great news for you. The Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus was dead. Now, the Bible says that we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. And when we came to Christ, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same Spirit lives in you. Now, I understand, friends, your bodies are temporal. Your bodies are fading. I told you this week I'm going to be celebrating on Wednesday, May 22nd, my mom's 86th birthday. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. And I was talking to my mom this week, and she was saying to me, you know, son, sometimes as an 85-year-old, almost 86 years of age, I wake up, and sometimes my bones are sore. Geesh, I can understand that. Sometimes I wake up and my bones are sore already. But she says, do you know what I do? I just get up and I get my strength from the Lord and the Spirit of God quickens me and I go on to my day. And so I just want to be, if God gives me 86 years, I want to be like my mom. I want to be recognizing, yes, my body is temporal. My body is fading away. Yes, I have some challenges, but Jesus Christ is alive in me. And just as God raised Jesus from the dead, here's a promise for you. Listen, he will give life to your mortal bodies. Your body's mortal. It doesn't matter if you drink all the protein shakes, have the best personal trainers, and have the pre-workout and post-workout. I promise you, your body is mortal. But he'll give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit who is living in you. And I'll tell you this, that as our lives shine, and your life does shine in Christ because he's in you. As our lives shine, God will do his part. As our lives shine, God will do his part. In the same way, let your good deeds shine. As you're walking through your week on this long weekend, and you have a thought, and you think, that's a godly thought, do it. As you're going about your day today and tomorrow and into the week and you have a thought and you think, that's not from God, don't do it. And as you do it, in the same way, let your good deeds, let them shine for all to see. So everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That's how we let that treasure of Christ come out of our lives. What else happens as we turn from our wicked ways intentionally? Well, thirdly, you are transformed in God's word. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Aren't you amazed at times? I mean, you might be in church, like right now in this place, or maybe you're reading your Bible at home and you're having your devotions and you're just, like you're thinking about Jesus and this wicked thought just comes right into your mind. Aren't you amazed that that happens? I like what somebody said. You know, you cannot stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop that bird from building a nest in your hair. So, you know, you want to do good. Like Paul talked about that. I want to do good, but wicked's right there with me. And so let's press on and let's do good. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You see, turning from our wicked ways means letting God change our mind. Turning from our wicked ways meaning letting God transform our mind. Now that word where it says don't copy the behavior in the Greek is sousskimato. And we get a couple of our English words from this Greek word. One is schemes. Do you know that you have an enemy who has some schemes for you? Your enemy has a simple plan for your life. He wants to steal and to kill and to destroy you. That's it. Schemato, it means conforming yourself to an outward appearance, model, or pattern. I said it earlier, it doesn't matter where you're born in the world, it doesn't matter what your place or status in life is. If you get stamped into that world's mold, you're just in that worldly thinking mold. Don't be conforming yourself to an outward appearance. The other word that comes is not only scheme, but the other word that we get from that Greek word is the word schematic. You know, if you're a construction person, you want to see the schematic. Like if you're an engineer, you need that schematic diagram so that you can know how things should go. Well, I'll tell you something, that God's schematic for you is the very best. Don't be conforming yourself to an outward appearance or model or pattern. Don't be squeezed into, some versions say, don't you be squeezed into. See, the world has a way of squeezing you into its pattern. What does the world's pattern look like? Well, it looks like this. Live for self. Live for this world. You only have one life to live. And so while you're living your one life, you better get all you can and grab all you can, because you know what? You only go around once. That's the world's plan. Do you know what Jesus said? I've come to give you an abundant life. And now listen to me. If you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the sake of the gospel, you're going to find it. You're going to save it. Don't be letting the customs of this world, don't be letting the behaviors of this world squeeze you into that mold, but let your mind be transformed. Well, how do we do that? Well, a few thoughts. First of all, God's word changes you, and God's word shows you the truth. You know, it's been the same since the beginning. The truth is in the Word of God. If we don't know the Word of God, where is our anchor? Where do we go for the answer? Yes, no, maybe. What's our standard if we don't know the Word of God? God's Word changes you and shows you the truth. And Christian, listen to me. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. This world is not your home. Jesus prayed this prayer over your eternal soul. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Now, we're in the world, but we're not to be squeezed into that world's mold. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. So make them holy by your truth. We know that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, but look at what he says. Teach them your word, which is truth. So God's word changes us. It's God's word that transforms us. That's why we have every Lord's Day, we have what's called SMA, Sunday Morning Alive, where people come, children come, and adults come, and they come together and they learn from the Word of God. That's why we have life groups at SPA, where people can come together in groups and you know, just go on different topics around God's Word. Secondly, God's Word teaches how to live your best life now. Psalm 119 says, how can a young person stay pure? Now, just in case, you know, maybe you're 93 years old and you're not young, I just want you to know, this is okay for everybody. This works not only for young people, it works for single people, it works for married people, it works for people that are hoping to be single or hoping to be married. It works for people that are young and people that are old. How can a human being stay pure? By obeying your word. Now, look at what it says. I have tried hard to find you. That's what it means to turn from your wicked ways. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. God's word teaches us how to live your best life now. And God's word is your personal training program. We talked about a personal trainer. Well, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and God's word is your personal training program. God's word is your manual. You can trust everything that you find in the word of God, because all scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong. Does it say in other people's lives? What does it say in our lives? This is what it means to turn from our wicked ways. It teaches us what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. I want you to know something, Christian. God has his hand on your life for eternity. God has his hand on your life for an amazing place. And can I say this? When you're going to a place that you've really never been before and you're not so sure what's there, it's a good thing to have a travel agent. Well, God's travel plan is the very best that there could ever be for your life. Sometimes people think, well, I know what I want to do. Well, the question has to be, God, is that what you want me to do? I think I know who I should marry, or I think I know what I should do for a career, or I think I know what I should do now that I'm easing into my retirement years. I think I know what I'll do with this. I think I know what I'll do with that. Well, I think it would be good for all of us to say, God, is that what you want me to do? Because God's travel plan is the very best, and I like what this says. God has a bigger plan for me than I have for myself. It's a bigger plan than you can ever imagine. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Listen, there's a good and a pleasing and a perfect will for everything that you're going to walk into today and tomorrow and every day that the sun comes up. God's travel plan is the very best for you. People have an agenda for your life. People will tell you what to do, but Jesus showed and calls us to submit. Would you please say submit? You know, Jesus often said, I've come to do the will of my Father. Jesus calls and shows us how to submit to the Father's will, and he did that perfectly. Don't let people take you off of the plan and the pathway that God has for you. Jesus taught us to pray this prayer: may your kingdom come, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I'll tell you something about God's travel plan for your life. Sometimes if you're a part of a travel group, like if you're a part of a certain travel group, they have benefits. You know, like you can get air miles, AIR miles, AIR miles, AIR miles, air. Everybody say air. But do you know what? As a Christian, you get HEIR miles. Air. HEIR. Can everybody say hair? It's not that, but air miles. As a Christian, you get air miles. And God's rewards are superior to anything that we know. I like this little acronym. God rewards our work. Do you know the good works that God has called you to do? When you do them, you get HEIR miles. You get air miles. And I'll tell you that his rewards, do you know what his rewards are like? Let's be honest. There's some pretty good rewards down here on earth. But do you know what God's rewards are like for those who love him? They're like this. No eye has ever even seen it. No ear has ever heard. And no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those of us who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. So as we think about what it means in closing this morning, personally, to turn from our wicked ways, here's what's true as we wrap it up. Our eternal success is based upon our press. What we're going to experience forever is going to be based upon what we do with these years right now that God is giving to us. I press on, and that word press, it's an athletic word. Paul loved drawing the picture of the athlete, the boxer, the racer, the runner,
the Olympian, the one who won the prize. Paul loved that because there was this dedication in their lives. And this word press, it's an athletic kind of a word. I press on to reach the end. Everybody please say end. You could circle that. You know what there is at the end of the race? There's a ribbon if you're running it. Like, can you imagine somebody running just even a 400 meter race? And they start out and they look good and they run. And I love really good runners because really good runners, when I run, this is what my head looks like. Really good runners, they run like this. How they do it, their head doesn't even move. It's just like a gazelle they run. But can you imagine somebody looking so good, I don't know, the finals of a 400-meter race and you know, at the Olympics, and they run that just impeccably until the 395th yard. And then they just stop right there. And all the other runners, whew, they break through the tape. I press on to reach the end. Would you please say end? Listen, God saved you to reach through the end. God's in your heart to reach through to the end. To reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize that we talked about, for which God through Christ Jesus is calling. Would you say this last word together, please? Us. In a race, only one person wins, but not in the church. In the church, God is preparing a reward for you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us and your calling on our lives means that we answer the question, what would it be like for me to turn from my sin? And God, I just want to pray for people. Maybe there's some people on this long weekend that have never received the gift of God that is ours in eternal life. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been born again. But you can be. You know that God said, anyone who comes to me, I'll never push them aside. And so if you're here today and today you understand as you're sitting in the presence of God, you understand by the Spirit of God that Christ came and died for your sins, and you would say, Pastor, I haven't received that gift. I haven't received forgiveness of sins, but I'd like to receive Christ today. Would you put up your hand? I'd like to pray with you wherever you are. If you want to receive Jesus today for the first time, just put it up so I can see it and that I can pray with you. Thank you. You can put your hand down right in the back there. And I think that for the rest of us, the answer to the question, what does it mean to turn from our sins? Well, it's more than praying the sinner's prayer. It's repentance. It's walking that higher road. It's walking that narrow road that leads to life. It's understanding that our body is not our own, but our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's realizing that our life is not ours to live, but as we live our life in that narrow road, our life is a testimony for God. It's bringing our minds to God and to His Word and letting our minds continually be being transformed by the Spirit of God. And it's living our best life now. It's letting God be our travel planner. It's letting God be our travel arranger for every moment that we live life. It's a sacrifice.